Yeah. You can go and then I'll go after you if you want.
Okay. Hi, I'm Amelia, also known as Neurotic Jewish Gay.
Hi, I'm Debbie, also known as Roots Metals.
Wait, why the fuck? I honestly, like, fuck intros. Like, I can't.
Fuck intros. Like, it's so stupid. We just want to talk shit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome. Do you want to talk shit?
Do you want to talk shit?
Fuck, I forgot the name of our own podcast.
Yeah. You did. That's, like, not good.
I did. In my defense. Just kidding.
In my defense, it's been a day.
No, it has, though.
Your Honor, I am very sorry.
I am so sorry. It has been a 5 months.
Yeah. I was gonna,
Has it been 5 months?
Almost. Like, yeah. It's Feb 27.
Yeah.
So, in a few days. I was, like, gonna say something so stupid. I was gonna be like, Your Honor, in my defense, I am very small. But.
You are very small.
I am. So are you, though. So,
Yeah, but, like, relatively, like, I'm.
You're literally, like, I feel like you're the same height as me. Like, every time I see you,
no.
I'm like,
no.
Wow, you're so short. No, just absolutely not.
No, I'm, like, way taller than you. What are you talking about?
You're literally, wait, you're, like, 5'1". I'm 4'11".
I'm 5'2". Your Honor.
Bro, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck me, then.
I just have a small personality, apparently. I think I have a small personality.
I really don't think you do.
No, I think I do. Like, I think my personality is shit. I just think my...
You think you, like, project something else on the internet?
No. Like, my personality on the internet is me. But, like, I'm not, like, a boisterous person that has, like... Like, you know how some people just have, like, such a strong personality?
Yeah, like, they're just, like, loud.
Like, I don't. Like,
yeah.
I'm very, like, reserved. And not on Instagram. On Instagram, I just, like, rant. But, like, I had a meeting today and someone was like, how many times do you post a day? And I was like, whenever I get mad.
You're counting? Yeah. Which is, like, all the time.
Right. Like, especially these days. But,
yeah.
No, so, like, there's people who, like, they're in a room and, like, everyone just is drawn to them. And I'm just, like, very quiet and chill. Like,
yeah, that's not me either.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, I want to go home or, like,
right.
A dog.
I want to go home. I'm home, but I want to go home.
Yeah. And then I just, like, go and, like, rant to all the people in my phone.
Yeah.
I never thought, like,
yeah, like, okay, so, like, the other day I read a post from what I would characterize as an anti-Zionist Jew. I don't know if that's how he characterizes himself, but basically had a bunch of screenshots of Jewish people on Twitter. Saying that, like, no ceasefire unless the hostages are returned type of situation. And I don't know if you saw that, but, like, basically he was saying that these people are getting paid to spread pro-war propaganda.
Oh, and
did you see that?
I don't know if I saw that specific one, but I've seen, like, I had seen a lot of people saying, like, the kidnap posters were, like, pro-war propaganda.
Which is insane.
I've seen the rhetoric. Yeah, like,
it's crazy. But, like, so one of the screenshots that he had was Ilan Levy, who obviously is a U.S. Oh, my God, I'm going to start spreading conspiracies by accident. Is a Israeli government spokesperson, so sure, he gets paid to, quote-unquote, according to this person, spread pro-war propaganda. But everyone else, like, they're involved in the Jewish world in some way, and some of them apparently have some connections to like more right wing organizations or whatever. But like the implication that they're specifically being paid to tweet to promote war is like such bullshit. Like, first of all, like most people have a job. That doesn't mean that like, unless you're like a pro-Palestine person who protests at like
they
11 a.m. like, on a Monday. Like, I don't know. But
like, go to work. Jesus. But like,
having a job, even if it's a job in the Jewish world, doesn't mean you're specifically getting paid to spread pro-war propaganda on social media. Like, I do like a lot of freelance work for Jewish organizations, but like my opinions on social media are my own, and I'm not getting paid to post anything on my social media. Mm-hmm. So it's like a crate, like that's such a wild jump from like, say someone is, I'm like literally making up an organization, like this is not any of these people, but like, say someone works for Stand With Us, and you know, like Stand With Us, I don't know what their official stance is, but I'm assuming it's something about like the hostages and whatever. If this person goes on Twitter and tweets about how there can't be a ceasefire deal without the hostages, that doesn't mean that Stand With Us is paying them to tweet this and to promote the war. Like, that's such mm-hmm. a bizarre, like, I don't know. I don't want to insult anyone's intelligence, but I have seen a lot of this person's posts, and sometimes I'm like, you're like deducing capabilities kind of confuse me sometimes. Yeah, to like say that there's like this conspiracy of like us getting paid to promote war propaganda, like mm-hmm. I don't know, it was just really weird.
No, and like honestly, even if I don't know how to put, like, if like someone I loved would take in hot, like of course I would be like, bring them right back. Like, right fucking now. Like, I feel like it's, like, taking advantage of, like...
I agree. And, like, what's funny is after that, not immediately after, but, like, after, I watched, like, this interview with Emily's dad. And he was kind of saying, you know, like, when Emily was hostage, like, I always knew, like, I always, you know, as a father, obviously, I wanted her back more than anything, but... if I were in charge of a country, I understand mm-hmm. that Israel's priority must be to take out Hamas, and that, you know, whatever price Israel pays for the hostages is going to be heavy, but there, like, there's a line, right? And mm-hmm. he understood that when Emily was in there, he understood, like, she can get killed because of, like, friendly fire or like bombings or whatever, and obviously that was like fucking heart-wrenching for him, but he also saw from, like, you know, the government of Israel is responsible for 9.5 million people
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can't sacrifice all of them for the hostages, unfortunately. So, like, I don't know. So the whole point is, like, they all have different opinions about what is the price that's okay to pay. And this mm-hmm. one person's, like, tokenizing this one person's opinion, and this one, like, this girl that is obviously going through a lot right now. And I don't know, I felt like it was really gross.
No, it is. Like, I don't know, it's, like, yeah, it's, again, like, just everything you said.
Yeah, and, like, what really annoyed me is I left a really long comment, like, just kind of being, like, hey, like, first of all, because then he went into, like, BB, like, declining hostage deals, and I was, like, okay, first of all, you're, like, neglecting to mention that these hostage deals were, like, actually absurd by any metric, because at one point they were asking for more prisoners than there actually were in Israeli prisons. Like,
that's so... That's, like, so typical.
Like, they're asking for 10,000 Palestinian prisoners, and Israel's like, we only have 6,000. So, like, of course Israel's gonna say no to that. Like, and then, because it's not possible.
Like, like dress people honestly, up and be like, hey, I'm back.
No, honestly, what I think is they just say things and these things get like, it's like genocide. They started saying genocide on like what, October like 9th? And so it, now it's become honestly, a thing.
Honestly, they were also saying it before. Like they were also saying it before
October. Yeah.
But like, I don't know what the fuck, like, I am left, but, like, what the fuck has happened to the left? I saw something yesterday that said, like, the state of disability rights in this country, in America, is genocide. And I've seen
things like that.
Is everything genocide? Everything is genocide.
Everything is genocide. I stubbed my toe,
it's genocide.
Like, it's just crazy because, like, there is such a high bar for what genocide is, like, for a reason. Like, war crimes are not necessarily genocide. Even if, like, Israel has, like, the intent to exterminate Palestinians, they would have to systematically be carrying out that policy of extermination for it to be genocide. Like, if Bibi tomorrow was like, let's kill all Palestinians, but then he doesn't follow through with it.
Yeah.
That's not a fucking genocide.
No. I just, like, sorry. Like, truth and honesty and has literally just been fucking thrown out the way. Like, nothing.
No, it's crazy.
I feel like I'm in a philosophy class. Like, I'm in a fucking undergrad philosophy class. And they're like, well, what is being? And I'm like, no, like, how so do we know weird. Any of this is real?
It's, I'm so, like, what? And then, like, I'm the whole, like, confused. Aaron Bushnell thing. And I'm like,
oh, like, my God. That's a whole nother thing. That's,
ugh.
Why are we encouraging suicide?
And people be like, it's not suicide, ways. It's self-immolation. I'm like, it's still, like, if you kill yourself, it's a suicide. There might be different reasons for your killing yourself, but it's still a suicide. Like,
yeah, no. Like, again, like, this is not, like, a funny matter, but I just need to tell you this thing I saw on Instagram. Someone, a creator was, basically, like, saying that he was a hero and, X, Y, and Z, and he,
wait, don't, whatever. Sorry, like, don't he, Australians say Z?
Yeah, they do say Z, but Amanda's got me into saying Z.
Okay, anyway, continue.
No, so, what was I saying? Oh, right. Oh, yes. So, she basically was talking about what a hero he was and what a sacrifice he made, and someone was like, bruh, like, he's fucking mentally ill. What are you doing? And she comments and, you know, says, have you seen his medical records? Like, are you his psychiatrist?
Yeah, I
like,
know.
Bro, he lit himself on fire.
I know who you're talking about. And the crazy thing is, even if he was of completely sound mind, which clearly he wasn't, and now that all his, like, social media posts are coming out, trust he was not of sound mind, but even
by
if
the way
he, what
sorry thank you guys for sending I think the book I think the same person sent it to you yeah. And I'm like always yeah. here for the tea, so like send me shit when you find I might not reply, but I'm always here for it.
I will not encourage that because I get crazy emails, but so send it to her.
Amelia will encourage that, yeah.
But it's more than that, though, by the way. I don't know if you saw, but, like, apparently he grew up in, like, this cult that was, like,
I saw, like, a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he grew up in, like, a really intense, like, Christian cult that was, like, crazy pro-Israel, which explains a lot of things. Like, clearly this is, like, a backlash to that, like, really traumatizing upbringing.
Yeah. This girl from my high school is doing the same thing.
I mean, I've seen that, like, so much because, like, I've seen this from so many people who grew up really, really Christian and with, like, a very biblical fan fiction version of Israel. And, like, Israel is perfect and Jews and the promised land and the chosen people and all that bullshit. And then they leave Christianity or whatever, or become less of that like radical right-wing Christian. And so they like go completely the opposite way without realizing that like it's just as insane. But like, okay, so anyway, what I was saying, even if he was of sound mind, which he was not, even if he was a fucking Buddhist monk who was self-immolating for Tibet, like, first of all, that's not something that a lot of people have been like sending me messages who like are more well-versed in like that culture than I am. But like, that's not something that's like to be like live streamed on social media. That's like a very like spiritual thing that they do that has like a very deep spiritual significance that has nothing to do with the West. Or with Palestine or with the US or any of this. And even if he was of sound mind and whatever, this was live streamed on social media and is being propagated on social media, and he's being depicted as a hero, and that is encouraging people who are vulnerable, who probably already feel suicidal, to give meaning to ending their fucking life. And this like honestly makes me so upset. Like, I've had a lot, like, I don't want to get into like too much of like my personal experience, but like I've dealt with losing someone that was a very close family member to suicide, and it was like a very traumatizing experience for everyone involved. And I, as someone who has also like suffered from mental illness, like, I know how susceptible I've been at certain points to getting like swept up into things. And I don't think it's like, you know, like, I wouldn't have burnt myself alive for Palestine because just because of like my personal background, but I don't think that it would be like a far cry for me to get swept up in a movement that was like harmful for me. I mean, it's like the same thing as a cult.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which I feel
also
like
I have personal, not personal, but close experience with.
Yeah. Like, I...
No, you froze.
Oh, I'm frozen? Am I back?
You're good now. You're good now.
Okay, yeah. Slay. No, like, I remember there was, like, I hate this, like, 2012 to 2015 Tumblr, like, glorifying suicide and glorifying self-harm. Yeah. And that's kind of,
I mean, it's like
what this feels like.
Yeah, except it gives it, like, a meaning. Like, it gives it, like, a greater world meaning. Like, he's gonna change the fucking world. And, like, and then they're saying that, like, he did it because he got deployed to Israel. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Literally.
And it's like being shared by hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions.
Again,
Americans don't get deployed. Americans don't get deployed to Gaza. Like, what are you talking about?
And if they did, you'd fucking hear about it. Like,
oh, trust me.
Yeah. Like, you would. Yeah. You would definitely hear about it. Speaking of just people not giving a shit about truth, should we delve into our favorite subject?
Yeah,
collective
like
liberation.
We had a whole topic for this episode and we're like on tangent. But I feel like that's fine.
No, but that's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always good. People can like watch us at 2 speed or yeah.
Or you know,
no,
if you don't want to watch, don't fucking watch.
Wait, watch what? Oh, the video?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm such a piece of shit. Like, I need to just, like, expose myself to, like, the fucking craziest things. Because, like, I gaslight myself. I'll be like, that didn't really happen. And then like, I'll, like, I'll convince myself. And then I'm like, okay,
times,
now I gotta see it.
You know how many times I've watched October 7th footage because I'm being gaslit on the internet?
Oh, same.
And I have to be like, wait, no, this, like, actually really happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, me too. The other thing was, for a good, like, maybe 12 to 18 hours, like, I thought I was maybe dreaming. Not in the way that, like, I feel like a lot of people would have, but I was literally recovering from surgery and I was on these meds.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't know if it was, like, the meds or the...
Yeah.
Or, like, it was real life. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that, like, instigated my, like, gaslighting myself.
I mean, I think also, like, I don't know, like... I mean, I feel like we're all being, like, mass gaslit. It's really crazy. Like, the amount of times I've seen people be like, there's no babies beheaded. No one was beheaded. And then I'm like, no, but I saw that on October 7th. Like, I saw that posted. And then I've, like, literally had to go back to, like, expose myself to that shit, which is horrid. Like, it's the worst stuff I've ever seen in my life. Just to be like, no, this really happened. Like, it's so bad for, like, our mental health. And there's some, like, footage of, like, people that were beheaded that I've seen so many times that, like, I feel like I've lost sensitivity to it, which is, like, awful.
Yeah. It's, like, insane. I just – the one thing that, like – and this is so fucked up, like, the one thing that, like, when I was, like, at my – like, highest point of, like, the gaslighting about the baby specifically that, like, brought me back to earth was remembering that that's what happened to the baby of the Fogel family.
Yeah.
Like, this is not some...
No, it's, like, real people.
Yeah. Like, the Fogel family from, like, 2011.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that this has happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, I was thinking about them a few months ago, because obviously, you know, I got into a fight on Instagram with this guy who lives in Germany, who's Jew, who's, like, the biggest as a Jew you've ever seen. Casually, I get into an argument with him. And I said, like, I wanted to, like, see if we could agree on one basic thing. And so I was, like, thinking, like, what's, like, the worst? This is fucking crazy. This was in September. I was, like, what is, like, the most heinous kind of thing that's happened to us? Like, when people have been so innocent, like, in our recent history. And that was what I thought of the Fogel family. And I said, can you condemn that? And he couldn't do it. Like, he's a dad, and he couldn't do it. And I don't know. I've just been, again.
It's fucking crazy.
There's, like, no words.
It's. I mean, how do you not see that you're, like, learning to justify the most, like, horrific crimes in the name of an ideology? Like, do you not fucking see that? And, like, I know people are gonna come in and they're like, oh, like, you're justifying bombing babies. And first of all, no, we're not. We understand that there is a war and it's a fucking very difficult urban warfare environment. And I don't know that the IDF is always doing the right thing. I'm sure at times they really haven't. But there, I don't understand why it's so hard for people to comprehend that there is a difference between being bombed in a war situation and a person-to-person slaughter.
Yeah.
Where you are tortured and it's like an intimate, like, murder of the person. Like, like, how is that so difficult to understand? Like, all wars are terrible. In all wars, people get bombed and die, and it's horrific. But there is a there's a difference.
There's a tangible difference.
Like, there's a difference between even, like, Hamas rockets, which are all war crimes, by the way, and what they did on October 7th.
Yeah, no, like, honestly, if October 7 was just, like, rockets, like, I don't know. I feel like if it was rockets and killed the same amount of people, it would still be a completely different situation.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, the intimacy of the murders were, like...
And, the very specific message that they were trying to send by burning people alive and raping people and literally mutilating, torturing, beheading, like they were trying to send a message, and we got the message
loud and clear.
Yeah, and it's the message that they've always said. Like, they've always said this. I've since October 7th, like, I've always been like, I always knew they were terrorists. I knew they targeted civilians. I knew they did suicide bombings and threw rockets at civilian places and whatever.
And she's talking about Hamas before anyone wants
Yes, of course, I'm talking about Hamas. But it's so ridiculous that, like, anyway, obviously, I'm talking about Hamas, not every Palestinian person.
Because you know some motherfucker's gonna, like,
oh, of course,
take a little snippet.
I'm just gonna say it, like, every fucking sentence. I'm talking about Hamas.
You don't even have to. I was just, like, thinking, like,
no, I know.
This is why Jay Fred just gonna take it out.
But, like, I knew they did all those things. I lived through the Second Intifada. I knew they bombed pizzerias and all that shit. Again, all war crimes. But there was something different about October 7th. And what was different was not just, like, the sheer scale of how many people they killed in just a few hours, but the way that they killed those people. And it was done in the name of an ideology because there was no legitimate military strategy to that. None. They were not going to liberate Palestine doing that. They were, like...
I feel like they got what they wanted, honestly.
Of course they got what they wanted.
It might have been a strategy. I think the strategy was to, like, go and fuck with, like, they wanted Israel to retaliate.
What I mean, though, is that,
so they,
like,
could fuck with Saudi Israel.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You mean, like,
what
militarily?
I mean, militarily, they were not, like, trying to conquer a territory or liberate a territory or whatever. Like, this, from, like, day one, this was, like, a ploy to, like, get attention in a certain way.
And they did it pretty well.
They sent us a message and provoked us to respond in a way, way stronger than we have ever responded. They knew a lot of people were going to die. They don't give a shit.
They said, like, they gave people, like, apartments. And I don't, like, quote me. I'm, like, pretty sure, like, they were, like, giving people apartments and money and shit like that. But, like,
They've always done that, obviously, with, like, Pay for Slay, because, like, Hamas also has, like, its own program. But I'm sure they did something like that. I just, like, don't have it, like, fact checked.
Get the video.
It sounds so cold to be like, no, they're trying to exploit your caring for innocent people to get what they want. They know they can't defeat Israel, like, with the military, but they can get literally public opinion against Israel, and that's what they did. And people are, like, falling for their sick fucking twisted game that, like, is awful.
It's just like the Arafat Soviet strategy for the bajillionth time. Like, it's fucked. I was actually watching, like, and I don't know how this plays into stuff. I was watching this documentary about Iranian proxies, you know, because I'm normal. And they were saying, like, Wait, no, this was another this was another documentary about, it was a series, all of them are different dictators, again, because I'm normal.
That's fine, I fell down like a crazy rabbit hole about North Korea the other day.
Oh my god, wait, no, you need to, I'm like obsessed.
I was just like did you know that there was like an American kid that like went to North Korea on some like group trip through like China, and he like stole like a sign from the hotel, and on the way out from the airport he got like stopped by the police and they put him in a fucking concentration camp, and then he died there, or he ended up in a coma for some reason, and then they like sent the body back to the US and he died. Because he stole, like, a fucking sign
at a hotel. And this is the world that Gen Zers on Twitter want us to live in.
Yeah.
They literally have North Korean flags in their fucking bios.
What the fuck? And then I was reading about, like, the concentration camps, and, like, that's, like, some Nazi shit. Like, I'm against comparisons all day, but that's some fucking Nazi shit that they do. Like, and, but it's, like, not that it's worse than Nazis, obviously, but like it's like if you get, I can't believe we're talking about fucking North Korea on a podcast about collective liberation, but anyway,
it's fine, I'll edit it, it's gonna be great.
It's all good. But
yeah, no, it's great.
But like, okay, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so North Korea, if you get sent to a concentration camp, three generations of your family are also imprisoned there.
Oh my god. Could you imagine? Fucking
crazy.
Debbie, our families.
Oh, I'd be in a concentration camp. 100%.
Yeah, no, same. I would. Yeah, no. Oh,
especially if like a transgression is like stealing a fucking sign from a hotel room.
Yeah. That's not. I mean, I'm not.
You know what's crazy? The kid was Jewish. The kid was Jewish, but North Korea framed it as like, I don't think North Korea knew that he was Jewish, but like, I don't know if how Jewish he was. He was like of Jewish descent. But I'm not gonna like say he was like Jewish. But North Korea like put out this like whole story that he was like part of like a Christian spy group that was spying on behalf of the US, and the kid's family was told by their lawyers to not say that he was Jewish because they felt like that was gonna cause
that would have been worse.
More, yeah. But I mean, either way,
he's Mossad.
Yeah, either way, he unfortunately died. He was like 21 or something. Yeah.
Oh my god. When was that? Like recently?
Like 2017. I'm telling you,
my god.
Rabbit hole. Yeah.
Okay, I need to see this. But no, so this documentary, the first episode was about Gaddafi, you know, the Libyan.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting because in the first few, and don't jump down my throat because this isn't any like commentary on it, but it emphasized that in, you know, the last few years of Nelson Mandela's life, he was hanging around Gaddafi, like, a lot. Like, Gaddafi, there was, like, a lot of, you know, like, enmeshment, and the documentary was saying that Gaddafi essentially, you know, took advantage of like, this moment. Yeah, and I think, like, that just is, like, for me, like, tying back to the collective liberation thing, I'm gonna do some shameless self-promo and make you guys read my article on collective liberation, because rabbit hole again. But the, just like, consider to speaking of dictators and just all the shit that goes on in the world, and like a lot of it, like, we don't even know, like,
yeah,
progressives have this like, I don't even identify as, like, I never really identified as, like, a leftist. But, like, now, like, the word, like, makes me physically ill and, like, progress.
Here's my thing. Like, my values have not changed, like,
at all
since October 7th. But I feel very uncomfortable with the label now because it's a bunch of people that are doing some insane shit. And I don't ascribe to that at all.
It's literally, like, I had to use the words in my article. Like, I didn't have other words. I said, absolutely, Delulu.
Because that's what it is.
So, the whole notion of... So, first of all, I'm on my tangent. So, first of all, the... very famous Jewish author, Emma Lazarus, Debbie, interrupt me if I'm, like, missing anything.
Nope.
Very well known. She was a Zionist, confirmed that in subsequent writings. She actually wrote on the Statue of Liberty. And mm-hmm. It also says, like, I'm sure you've heard, like, what's the quote? Like, give me your poor, you're hungry, you're tired masses. Yeah, like, she wrote that. Like, I didn't realize that's who, but, like, that's her.
Yeah, that's her. She was also a Zionist even before the first Zionist 18... Congress and stuff. Yeah. Like, she died before, I'm pretty sure. But what's funny is this whole bullshit about collective liberation is what made her a Zionist. Because...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so... Collective liberation is essentially, if you spend 5 minutes on anti-Zionist Twitter, if you look at, I guarantee you, any of the mission statements of JVP, if not now, there's this thing called SEDEC Collective. I think it's Australian-based. Just any of these, I guarantee you, any of these organizations, you will find the words safety through solidarity, collective liberation, interconnected/collective struggle. At the personal favorite, none of us are free until all of us are free. Basically, these expressions are, like, grossly misappropriated. I'm sorry, like, just extreme, like, misunderstanding. I don't even think it's misunderstood. Like,
I don't think so.
It feels intentional. Like,
Stripped. Since everyone after October 7th was so interested in context, it completely stripped those words of the context of the paragraph that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, took it away and made it its own thing.
I'm going to read this to you guys because, like, I need to quote it. So, Emma Lazarus said, in defiance of the hostile construction that may be put upon my words, our national defect is that we're not tribal enough. We have not sufficient solidarity to perceive that when the life and the property of a Jew in the uttermost provinces of the Caucasus are attacked, the dignity of a Jew in free America is humiliated. Until we are all free, none of us are free. So.
Clearly she was talking about Jews. Yes, about Jews caring for Jews everywhere in the world. If a Jew in the uttermost province of the Caucasus is not free, then Jews here are not free. That's what she was saying.
This is so fucked because I kept in the beginning part of the quote. She said, in defiance of the hostile construction that may be put upon my word, she could not have imagined that people would have said, like, this is about Jews aren't free until all other minorities are free.
And the whole thing, she goes on to say that the Jews in the U.S. are too afraid to be seen as not, like, cosmopolitan enough.
Mm-hmm, yes.
As the anti-Semites in Germany and Russia. So they forget the needs of their Jewish brethren in Russia or whatever, and only care about the needs of others who are oppressed here, let's say. Like, when literally, that's what she's saying.
When we tell you, she could not have been more specific.
She's like, fucking talking about JVP, obviously, before JVP existed.
I really think she was. Because in the context of all of this, like, that's essentially what would have happened. Like, yeah. So, okay,
like, on it, okay, so, read, like, yeah, read the whole thing if you want.
No, go on, go on.
No, so
I was going to read something from If Not Now.
So, what I was gonna say is that after doing further research on her life, she was not born a Zionist. She became a Zionist and started advocating for a Jewish homeland in Palestine because she noticed that there, you know, like, there was, for these people that we're having solidarity for, that was not reciprocated, and that Jews needed to care for their own people because no one else was caring for us. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it's like, what a, like, just what an accurate prediction. Like,
it's crazy.
I just want to read, like, a tweet from If Not Now, again, quoted in my article, just because, like, it so perfectly captures, like, the misinterpretation of her words. So they say, "As Jews, we understand that our fate is bound up with that of other minorities. We can only find safety through solidarity with other marginalized groups." All right.
That's, like, literally the opposite of what the fuck she was saying. Like, quite literally the opposite.
Not literally. And not only is it the opposite, it is categorically untrue.
It's untrue. Right? It's historically untrue.
So I know this might be more recent in America, specifically, like, New York City, in, like, less religious areas and stuff. But if you talk to a lot of, you know, diaspora groups, and I can, like, speak to this from my perspective, like, we, like, had really, really efficient community security. And what I mean by community security is people from the community volunteer, they train, they do courses, they have a whole host of, I don't want to say too much, but a whole host of things to protect the community safe. Yeah. Most visibly is security made up of people in the community, again, outside shuls, and Jewish schools and Jewish community centers. Interestingly, in Australia, I can't speak to other communities, they're armed, right? And that's a huge, I'm not going to talk about, like, guns, but, like, that is a huge deal in Australia. Like,
yeah,
they are so well trained. They know their shit. Like, they, and I know there's, like, similar groups in the UK and in South America and, like, every,
yeah.
I feel like North America is, like, very behind in
so
this.
I can't tell you where I got this from because it's something that's unpublished as of now, but someone was saying, someone that is very well respected in the Jewish community was saying that there's two diasporas. There's the U.S. and there's everywhere else.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and, like,
such
I
a
literally
thing.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree yeah. more.
That's so true. Like, yeah. And I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, people, like, were so, like, I don't want to say we're so good here for such a long time, but, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, it might be, like, I think a bit of, like, American exceptionalism.
100%. Like,
even in the UK, like, they have this kind of,
yeah,
like, they understand it on a more significant level than they do. I feel like more similar to like Jews from the UK than like Jews from America, just in terms of like,
yeah,
familiarity with that. It's actually really funny. I saw on Twitter someone, it's always on Twitter, I saw on Twitter someone who was like, she was going to Australia on like study abroad and she wanted to find a synagogue. And she was like, this is pre-October 7th, but like, this was post Colleyville, Pittsburgh, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And she was complaining that she needed like 3 recommendation letters and like,
oh, I don't know, something else
to go to a synagogue.
Oh my God, then, good luck. Okay, good luck trying to get into a synagogue in Costa Rica.
Honestly,
you can't just fucking walk in.
Yeah,
like you can't just walk in.
Yeah, like you guys, like we didn't grow up in the U.S., but like this, I like don't know how I can articulate how just fucking bizarre that is. And this whole thing about community security is like, it's actually the opposite of collective liberation. Jews understand that nobody is going to come to our aid and like do this. Like, you even have like the stereotypical, like, sorry, the stereotypical like New York Jewish boy who's like scrawny and like, you don't, like, to an extent that's not really true, because you have people in like, you have like, I don't know, like I'm not gonna like say like people in the IDF, because just obviously, but like you have like a lot of Ashkenazim in Australia. You have Jews from all over the world, not in Israel, except Israel and America, like really like doing their shit, like training gun license, because they understand that like no one's coming to our aid.
No, and if like not, that's also one of the things that pisses me off so much of when people are like, oh, I guess like the Jews didn't learn the lesson from the Holocaust. And I'm like, first of all, our fucking genocide was not like a lesson to be learned. Like, mm-hmm. there was no silver lining to the Holocaust where you're like, well, at least, you know, they came out with a good lesson out of it. Like, what the fuck? But second of all, if there was one thing that the Jewish community learned from the Holocaust, it's that no one is going to fucking save us but ourselves. And that is so fucking evident from like the actual primary documents from the time period. No one was coming to our aid. Even like, let me get ready to shit on Poland. Even the Polish resistance, the Polish resistance that was like, ardently like anti-Nazi, like hated the fucking Nazis, and obviously with all the reason in the world, they worked with the Jewish partisans sometimes, like as in like the Warsaw ghetto uprising, but their attitude was like, they're not really a part of us. And then at one point they went like full-blown anti-Semitic, like actual massacres, actual like selling them out. When the first like commander was, I don't know if he was the first one, but one of the commanders was killed for like the Polish resistance. And the guy that they replaced him with literally said something like, oh, like it's, I don't know the exact quote off the top of my head, but it was something like, you know, it's like really tragic what happened to the Jews, but the truth is that no one really wants them to come back. Like, no one came to fucking save us. The Americans bombed all near the fucking concentration camps, the railroads, like, didn't bomb the camps despite years of the Jewish community begging them to. Like, no one came to our aid. That is our quote-unquote lesson from the Holocaust. And it's supported by, like, all the primary documents from the time period, both actual documents of like what the Americans and the Allies and the other resistance groups chose to do, but also by the things that the Jews were saying.
Yeah.
Like there's like this overemphasis on like righteous among the nations. And it's like, on the one hand, like great, but also like they were such
everyone
a small...
Everyone wants to think it was them, yeah.
And there was such a small amount of people, and I don't know, I could, like, rant about this forever, but I remember, like, one time I did a post basically saying that, okay, like, first of all, there's no fucking lesson to the Holocaust, you fucking assholes. Like, it's not, like, a fucking school course. But second of all, if there was a lesson, it's that no one is coming to save us and we have to fucking save ourselves. And some mm-hmm. as a Jew was like, oh, like, you know, this, what's the term? Like, when, like, right before World War II, when, like, the, what's it called? When Americans, isolationists, they're like, oh, this, yeah. like, isolationist attitude is, like, so contrary to, like, the lessons that my so-and-so learned from his experience in the Holocaust. I'm like, that's fucking great. I don't care. I'm talking about, like, the collective Jewish experience.
Mm-hmm.
The lesson was the, why do you think in the displaced persons camps, 97% of people said they wanted to go to Palestine? They did not want to go anywhere else. 97%. That's, like, an insane fucking percentage. And, like, literally. in some camps, like, up to, like, 15% of the people, when they were, like, they had to put down, like, a second choice, they said crematorium.
Holy shit.
Not want to be among other people because they knew what had happened. Their neighbors yeah. turned on them. Like...
Mm-hmm. And so, this is
I could rant about this all day.
No, honestly, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, that familiar. I mean, me and Debbie are very familiar with, like, the memory screenshot memes. Like, yeah. where he's like, this is not a happy reality. Like, that's what this is. This is not a happy reality. Literally. Like, I'm like, I have to, like, breathe and, like, count to 10. So, I'm just, like... Yeah. Breathe, count to 10.
mm-hmm.
Like, the idea of this safety through solidarity thing, you know, someone applied it to Israel-Palestine, and I'm gonna, like, read that in a minute, but beyond, like, the Holocaust and, like, even, like, not with, like, October 7 or anything, I think the lesson from anti-Semitism, not from the Holocaust, but, like, just the, not even the lesson, the genuine agreed-upon thing among diaspora non-American Jews is that we need to take control of our own fate.
Yeah.
No one's gonna say, like, no one gives a shit about you. Even they don't have the decency to not tear down your hostage posters. They would rather go out of their way, tear it down, and, like, smile for the camera. Like,
okay, so you know what's interesting?
Where we're at.
What? You know what's interesting? This whole thing about, like, kind of realizing you have to take charge of your own destiny. Before the Holocaust, there was, like, this whole fucking debate within the Jewish community in Europe between, like, the Zionists and, like, the Bund or whatever.
Oh, yes. We need to do a whole thing about that. Cause
yeah. That's and first of all, anti-Zionists, like, really, like, romanticize them. And they're like, oh, like, you know, anti-Zionism was, like, always a Jewish value. First of all, they were not actually anti-Zionists. They did not deny the connection of Jews to Israel. They simply felt that the best path for Jews was integration into whatever society they were in. And this was, like, an ongoing debate, but they were still a minority, by the way. Like, there were way more Zionists than they were. But yeah. After World War II, in the displaced persons camps, even they were pressuring the British to let Jews into Palestine. The debate was fucking over. Like, the Holocaust ended the debate. There's no debate. Clearly, integration is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, a fucking 2,000-year-old hatred that's so fucking ingrained. And your neighbors turned on you. mm-hmm. and sent you to burn. And like, you can't just fucking wait around for them to get to their senses.
And that's what this whole thing is. Like, they're, like, it's this almost, like, messianic-esque, like, theory. And they say, like, they always reference this, like, utopia that, like, one day there is gonna, not only will there be a world free of all oppression and violence, but we're actually creating it right now. We are doing it. This is what we are doing. And
well,
I'm like,
fucking
okay, but like, this isn't Barbie land, first of all. I don't know what to do with that. And it's one, I don't even like saying it's one thing, but there's a thing, like, you can look at this in the US and be like, that's fucking stupid, like that whole conversation we just had. But this specific influencer, self-described Jewish educator, applied this collective liberation, we are all free until none of us are free approach to Israel-Palestine. So it's so peculiar to me that my calls for Palestinian liberation are met with accusations of being a self-hating Jew. On the contrary, embracing a politics of collective liberation means that I love myself and the world around me so deeply that I refuse to accept a status quo that is not making anyone safer. Let's flip this to self-loving Jew. And the idea is that, you know, I love myself so much that I refuse to accept, it just says a lot. I will not, it's not possible for me to conceive that a world in which evil exists and anti-Semitism exists is inconceivable to me, and I refuse to accept that. And when you're putting this in to Israel-Palestine, you're not only discounting 75 years of history, 75 years of Palestinian rejectionism, the suicide bombings, forget October 7th, everything before October 7th. You want to discount October 7th even? If you want to discount everything in the fucking state of Israel, you can look outside your window and you will see protesters chanting, and I'll read this to you, chanting things like, Intifada, Intifada, long live the Intifada. It is right to rebel. Israel, go to hell. Settlers, settlers, go back home. Palestine is our home. We don't want two states. We want 48. One, two, three, four.
They want British colonialism.
Occupation no more. 5, 6, 7, 8. Smash the settlers, Zionist state. I'm no expert in coalition building. I don't have a master's in solidarity. I am not an academic, intellectual, whatever.
You don't know the difference. Like, you don't know the difference between theory and praxis.
Bro. But I swear to God, like, I'm like, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I am pretty sure that saying smash the settler Zionist state is not a call for Jewish liberation.
It's giving it's giving a little bit of violence.
It's literally DeLulu.
But it's listen, DeLulu. It's not just that though. These are the same people. It's very same marches that are chanting Yemen, Yemen, make us proud, turn another ship around for the Houthis, who in their fucking banner thing, part of their slogan is not. It's death to America, or like victory to Islam, death to America, death to Israel, a curse upon the Jews. Like, literally. Say you want Israel to die, okay, whatever. You want America to die, great, whatever. a curse upon the... Please explain to me how these are intersectional coalition builders that are being inclusive to Jewish liberation, because they want to curse you. Yeah, fucking explain that, like, to me.
It doesn't... And it's honestly, like, it's kind of demeaning. Like, you know, if I was Palestinian and I was saying all these things, and then some fucking influencer is like, liberation for all of us. No, give the people you're advocating for the fucking dignity and the respect to take them. Like, could you imagine? Like, I'd be pissed. Like,
oh my God.
It's so, it's just fucking racist. It's honestly racist. I mean,
so much about this is so racist. Like, literally, the soft bigotry of low expectations has been this entire past 5 months. But also, another thing I want to touch on that we haven't talked about, and I feel like we've been talking for a long time, so I do want to bring this up, is that I was thinking a lot about, like, this concept of collective liberation and how Jews will be liberated once all of us are liberated. And in a sense, it sounds like you're saying the Jewish like, first of all, yes, of course everyone should be liberated. That's not what I'm arguing against, okay? Everyone should have equal rights. Everyone should live a life of justice, dignity, whatever. Don't disagree with that. But what you're saying is that our liberation can't come until we get the liberation of everyone else. You are making Jewish liberation contingent on everyone else being liberated, aka Jewish liberation is going to come last. Let me tell you a little bit about history. You know, like, the phrase that about how, like, anti-Semitism is the cannery in the coal mine. I hate that phrase. It makes me so angry because it's like trying to get non-Jewish people to care about anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism means that there's, like, a rot in society and it's going to come for you in the end as well. But it's a true quote. Every time a society has, like, descended into, like, bad things, every time there's, like, a serious issue at the heart of a society, they come for the Jews first. This whole bullshit about, like, waiting until everyone else is liberated so we can be free is not, it's, like, it's literally suicidal. And there's also, like, there's even a fucking saying in the Middle East, like, I don't remember, or I don't know if you remember, but, like, during the height of ISIS, when all, like, the Christian communities in the Middle East were being, like, genocided or, like, ethnically cleansed, there has been a saying in the Middle East, in the Arab world, for a long time, where they say, first they come for the Saturday people, then they come for the Sunday people. First they come for the Jews, then they come for the Christians. Historically, anywhere the Jews have lived, when there is a rot in society, it starts with the Jews. And we, like, even in the US that doesn't have, like, this, like, intense history of, like, Jewish persecution, like, of course, there's been, like, you know, a lot of, like, institutional anti-Semitism and the universities, you know, that, like, had Jewish quotas or, like, Jews not being able to get certain jobs, so they start at Hollywood, whatever. But I'm talking about, like, actual persecution, like, actual, like, government-initiated persecution of Jews. There's not really that much of a history of that here. But even so, when fucking people were going crazy during the Trump presidency and everyone fell into QAnon, what were, like, where were they getting all those ideas from? Those were anti-Semitic tropes. Like, when shit is going crazy, they come for us first, historically, even in places where there's not, like, that history. And so this, like, fucking concept that we will be free once everyone else is freed is so, you know, from someone that, like, spends all fucking day reading and writing about Jewish history, is so, like, counterintuitive to how, like, history has actually worked out for Jews. It makes no sense. And it's just gaslighting.
And even, like, on that, it just doesn't, and, like, kind of back to, like, the, like, just ignoring, literally, everything and everyone in history. Like, it, like, do they not understand that, like, not everyone's idea of liberation, okay, what liberation means to me is like equality. Like, I don't know, mm-hmm. like, if yeah. if I just think about it, like, I don't, the right to wear what I want, the right to mm-hmm. marry who I choose, so long as it is two consenting adults. Hire Rachel,
right.
Don't twist my words. you know, the right to, like, I don't fucking know, just, like, the right to free speech, the right to free expression, like, all of the rights, you know, everyone on Twitter loves using to bash America, and yes, there's a lot wrong with America, but to idolize brutal authoritarian regimes that if you said the shit about that government that you say about here would land you killed. And yeah, I don't know if I'm like going on a tangent, but just
you're making sense though. Like, for me, in terms of like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, for me, liberation for everyone means that we both get what we want, which is self-determination, peace, justice, a life of dignity, and that will require compromise. To me, that's liberation. To some other people, extremists on both ends, but primarily on the other end, there's no like middle ground. Like, we don't want two states, we want all of it. And they are willing to sacrifice a good, like, a life of liberation right now for the dream of a future liberation where they get their liberation, but there's no compromise with us, so we don't get liberation.
You're
not talking about the same thing. I don't know what your concept of liberation is, but I know my concept of liberation is not the same concept as Hamas's concept of liberation.
Literally. And, like, I think, like, just
or extremists on the Israeli right either, like, you know?
Yeah. Like, my idea of liberation, like, I basically, like, being able to do within reason, like, whatever the fuck you want.
Don't hijack a plane, but...
Oh my god, that's a whole nother... We have, like, so much to talk about. Like,
I know, it's been crazy the last few days.
Literally, I don't know, like, what happens, but, like... So I'm sitting the bar exam this week, like... Whenever I have to, like, be away from my phone from, like, significant periods of time, shit just hits the fan.
No, it's
crazy.
You know,
when I come back to my phone, someone's lit himself on fire, the left is praising suicide, what was the other... Oh, Muhammad Al-Qaeda was wondering why we can't hijack planes anymore. What the fuck?
Oh my god. How,
like, what do you even do?
It was a weird satisfaction to, because you know how we're talking about, like, how we get gaslit and then we need something to, like, bring us back down to earth. And when he was saying, oh, like, we must normalize massacres, and then he gaslit everyone into thinking that he just misspoke and he doesn't want to normalize massacres and blah 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 blah, and then he's complaining that he can't throw Molotov cocktails or hijack a plane, and I'm like, oh, like, that brought me down to earth. And I was like, no, he's a murdering sympathizer at the very least.
And, like, honestly, like, you can't even, like, hijack a plane or, like,
bro, I saw a tweet,
or, like, kill people. God forbid men have hobbies.
I saw a tweet defending him that was like, well, prior to 9/11, plane hijackings were mostly nonviolent. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I literally can't. I'm simply done. I simply don't know what to do.
Like, these are the same people that made fun of, like, QAnon. You're just as insane.
Yeah. And, like, more, because most of these people are, like, educated and, like, you know, live in big cities and...
Like, what is happening?
What the fuck? I just...
What?
Like...
plane hijackings were mostly nonviolent. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's honestly, like, there's this thing, and, like, don't hate me, but I am taking the bar exam. There's this thing in, like, personal injury law. It's a saying, speaks for itself. So, for example, like, if you're walking in the street and a barrel falls out of a window, someone did something. Something fucked up. The thing speaks for itself. Barrels don't just fall out of windows, right? If someone lights themselves on fire, if someone lights themselves on fire, that should speak for itself.
Apparently not.
You should not have to consult their doctors to see if they were mentally ill. If someone hijacks a plane that is violent, you shouldn't have to, like, I just, like, what the fuck are we doing?
I like the comment where someone, because, you know, he went into this whole, like, oh, you can't protest peacefully, and someone was like, are the peaceful protests in the room with us right now? Like,
that's so funny.
What fucking peaceful that's protests? So good. But anyway. But yeah, you can peacefully protest. You can heckle politicians all you fucking want. You can hunger strike for 12 hours if you so wish.
You can intermittent fast.
But yeah, you probably shouldn't hijack a plane, Muhammad Al-Kurd.
You can go on Ozempic. Just if, like, to make the 12-hour fast a bit more doable.
Yeah,
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. How are we going
to
finish
this? Is there anything
else
you wanted to say?
See, this was really fun because I felt like we were just fucking talking.
Yeah, we were just, like, shooting the shit. Post some bloopers. I want to, like, play around with the software and, like, see stuff and, like, upload stuff. And yeah, I think we can just be, like, I don't know. That's so boring. Like, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for shooting the shit with you wanna talk shit.
Yeah. Okay. If you got this far, thank you for shooting the shit with us.
Yeah.
You know, until we figure out a better outro. Outro. Yeah.
No, we're not gonna figure out a better outro. You're just gonna have to fucking deal with it. So cope.
Okay, yeah, cook. Goodbye, friends.
Bye.
I'm gonna stop.
Okay.